A few of you follow me and have a friend with me on Facebook. I only have a few friends on Facebook. I see other people have thousands. I go, oh gosh. The Lord this year, two previous years, he gave me one topic, and he had me work with it the whole year. He did that for 2 years, two different topics. And this year, he told me to do something different at the beginning of January. So now, every month, I have to seek him for a topic for the month. And my use of Facebook is that once a week I put up a post, and it's God's word about that one topic. I'm cautious in using social media. I want to make sure that what I'm putting out there is to bring others to the kingdom. Amen. And so I found that that's a way that I can affect the social media and those people that see what's going on. So this morning, the few of you that have me as a friend have seen some of these come along. This month is topic is path or paths, okay? And so three of them have already been up because we're 3 weeks into the month. The first one, the Lord showed me Jeremiah. And the Lord was saying to Jeremiah, and he was talking to those around him and said to them, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. God's been at this for a long time, okay? So there's some ancient paths that are available to us that sometimes we miss them. We're into the now, okay, and the moment. But he's done things from everlasting and forever. And using Jeremiah, he was making sure that people stand by the ways and see and ask for ancient paths where the good way is. And you will find rest for your souls. Coming into rest is very important. Okay. Psalms 23:3. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not for me, his name's sake. And we have ancient paths, plural, and we have paths of righteousness. And it's for his name's sake, and he guides each one of us. Psalm 16:11, just the first part of that verse is, you will make known to me the path of life. You notice this is singular. It's just one path to life. Yeah. That he will make it known to you. By his spirit, he's doing that all the time. Drawing us to make sure that that path of life is there and alive in us. So, coming up, I have Psalm 25:4, a request to the Lord. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. We need that one every day. Every day. And then from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Always reminding us that our day today has light, but there's more light. It's going to get brighter and brighter until the day that we see him return and come from the clouds. Amen.
And I live with that. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Praise you, Jesus. Well, it's an honor to be back with you. Some of us have made it for another year as a champion, right? Especially when you get vintage on you. I don't say old, I say vintage, you know. So, but I want to share with you today, I've got to take all that's going on inside me and put it in a direction, because we are in probably the most dynamic, the most exciting, the most awesome time that we have ever known upon the planet Earth. And we are in the midst of a releasing of a great awakening that not only is going to change your life, it's going to change the church, it's going to change America, but it will change the world. I just release, Father, right now, before we share, follow your instructions. And I come and just release right now revival. I come and release the great awakening in this house in the name of Jesus. Just by us virtue being here, it is being released in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for this time and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know that we're in just an interesting time? That's to say the least. I titled this today, God's Kingdom and Transformation, because God is going to be manifesting his kingdom on this earth. And the manifestation of God's kingdom is less about us, I'm sorry, and more about what God wants. And part of this move of God is there's a major paradigm shift that's going to happen in the hearts of people. Spiritual awakening is more than God's spirit moving. We all want revival. We all want awakenings. We all want it. Spiritual energy and all the wonderful happenings when there is a manifestation of God's presence. We're all longing for that. But truth be known, and we have services where God touches us, and it's just wonderful. I mean, you have services like that here, don't you? We have them. We had one last Sunday at River Valley Christian Center. I had the privilege of preaching at River Valley last week. And so we have these times, but I'm here to say to you, when the presence of the awesomeness of God's Spirit and his glory shows up, we won't even be standing on our feet. And so God has given us a touch of his Spirit by visitations. But there's a time coming where God's going to come in and invade. He's just not going to visit. He's going to come and inhabit the hearts of his people. Spiritual awakening brings a manifestation of God's kingdom. It causes everything to change and line up. Everything. How many of you have ever thought that, man, this nation is so far gone, there's nothing that ever... I'm going to tell you, God in a moment can change anything. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. One of the things I was going through and I was listening to the songs you were singing, I was saying, Lord, do they... With open heart, you're singing all you want to the Lord, but do you actually believe what you were singing? Because there's some pretty powerful music there. You see, when God moves, it's about everything lining up with what he wants. what he chooses, what is in his will, what is in his divine plan, what does he create. Every time God moves, it's about what he wants. Now, we can't handle that because we live in a me generation. It's all about me, God. If you look at most of the things about the church, it's about me and what you can do for me, God. There's a time coming in the church, I'm proclaiming this in the name of Jesus, where you will come to church services not looking to receive anything, but looking to give to God everything. See, it's about God's dominion, it's God's glory, it's God's power, it's God's authority being released on earth here. And what's happened is we've so reduced this God of heaven to a manageable force that we don't believe he'll show up anymore. Not in the way he wants to show up. You see, I've seen revival in my mind's eye. I see what's coming. Heart has not seen nor has conceived what God has planned for you. But I've seen some of it, not all of it, but I've seen some of it. God has shown me what's happening. Am I anything special? No, I'm available. And you'll see as we go through this that you make yourself available. God also will show these things to you. The kingdom includes all elements that change the atmosphere and the environment. Now, you have to understand the atmosphere environment has been changed by the culture. Our government has changed the atmosphere of this nation to a nation that we don't even know what it is anymore. It's changed the environment. It's changed the atmosphere. And the in the culture has changed the very atmosphere of what the church exists in because it's manageable. Most of us will leave church service and go on with our life. God says, leave church service and be my life. Can you get that? You see, there's a dying generation out there that's looking for some reality of spirit, not our religiosity. They're sick of church. They're sick of what we've been. We come in, raise our hands, praise the Lord, and then we go out and take the Lord's name in vain 3 days later, or maybe even an hour later after we leave church. Maybe we go home and we fight with our wife and our husband or our children because it was an awesome service, but now I'm in reality. God says, no, I want to change the reality where what you have on Sunday morning, you live in Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. So it's about changing the environment, the focus. It's about changing man's heart from the me-centered humanistic indoctrination. Every one of us went into public schools, you have been indoctrinated into humanism. It's a religion. And the indoctrination is the world is me, I'm my own God, and I can make a difference no matter what I have. And God wants us, he's getting rid of that, and he's going to take the me generation out of us. Now that's enough to scare half the people out of the church right there. It will make sense in a minute. And so when God does, he changes everything, he powers, and there's a transformation of communities. If you've ever studied revival, one of the problems with the charismatic movement, I was saved in the charismatic movement, it was awesome. It was one of the greatest moves of God, but there was the biggest deficiency in the charismatic movement that we're still suffering from today, and that is there was no transformation of communities. The charismatic movement changed the church stayed inside, and our communities went to hell in a breadbasket, sorry. Because there's no transformation outside the church. God said, I didn't save you to sit in. Help me to 6 more days after you leave here. Is that too strong? I'm trying to be careful here because I know where I'm going. Help me, Jesus. The most glorious and powerful fruit and outcome of the manifestation of the kingdom of God through revival and the great awakening, the most powerful formation, the most powerful fruit, the most powerful results of a move of God and revival is the transformation of men's lives. Why the communities aren't changed is because people's lives aren't changed. Are you with me? Delivering them from the power of darkness. And if you look at the church compared to the glory light, Much of it is in darkness. And God said, I didn't come for you to exist in darkness. I came for you to do away with darkness. Darkness has no power. But we've given it power through the culture. Darkness rules. I don't know if you've looked around lately. It rules. Why is darkness so ruling? It's because the light has been dimmed. The light has been stuck in a building. The light has saying, shut your mouth, political correctness. Don't mention Jesus. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. And the light has been snuffed out. And the church, my dear beloved and sisters, have bought into it hook, line, and sinker. Yes, even the hottest spirit-filled churches, what impact do we have outside the church building? Well, we got to start. Well, I won't get into that. I'll get ahead of myself. Hang on. And so we're here saying, so what is this? He's delivering us from the power of darkness, and he conveys us what? Into the kingdom of his dear son and his love, Colossians 1:13. He conveys us. He brings us. Amen? But let me say something to you, because you see, we look at that scripture and we do what we've all done. Okay, I got out of the kingdom of darkness, been put in the kingdom of light because I'm saved and I'm with Jesus now. So I'm now in the kingdom of light. Well, then how come so much darkness is around us? Now listen to me, because you see, that transferring of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light is a process. You see, we get saved and we get in our safe, and we get taken out of the terrible world of darkness. But our life, every your life, how much have you ever had any problems in your life? and how many of you actually experienced darkness? Negativity. That negativity is darkness. Depression is darkness. Are you with me? So what is it? We got this theology that God took me out of the kingdom of darkness, put in the kingdom of light, so I'm arrived. No, you haven't. You're arriving. Are you with me? Because God won't be satisfied until every ounce of darkness your soul is influenced is taken out and your soul completely operates within the kingdom of light. Can y'all hear an amen on that? Can you receive that? This move of God also includes a change in the church focus. Now, I want you to hear this now. Because the church has been, all these years, has been so busy building and being ministry. Our whole focus in a church is ministry. Church functions on ministry. I don't have enough people coming, so I'll start a youth ministry. Hope I can get some youth coming in. Maybe their parents will come with them. Or I'm going to start a men's ministry. Maybe if I get enough men coming. And the whole focus is on ministry. Are you following me? Well, let me put it this way. The whole focus in a church is on building something. This move of God is going to do a paradigm shift. Y'all know what I mean by paradigm shift. It's going to be a shift from you doing something to being somebody. Sounds like words. It is not. Are you with me? I'm being very methodical because I want you to get this. When the kingdom of God moves, much of the church has particular focus on ministry or specialties. Some have salvation. We have churches that's big on salvation. That's cool. Oh, so you get 500 people saved. What are you doing with them? Are they being changed to the likeness of Christ? Or are you getting your six gun on, say, I got 500 people saved, I got a church of 500 people? Well, that's fine. What's the church doing as a body? This isn't condemnation. Hang on. You're going to get free. And so here's what the Lord says. He says that the focus of will change from ministry, the focus on youth and the focus on kids and the focus on mentoring, the focus on community, the focus on what we can take care of man's needs. How can we take care of man? How can we take care of man? How can we be everything we can to man? All right? And so our churches are geared toward that. Are you hearing me? No wonder we're failing. Because we can't do what we think we're set out to do, because that's God's job. I'm giving you a transformation here. You got to follow me, okay? Don't check out on me here, because this is very important. Because you say, okay, now, great, I can come to church and do nothing because God just wants me to focus on him. That's the fallacy. You see, if you're focused on God and you're in God and you're doing what he wants you to do, nobody's going to have to ask you to clean the church. You're going to come do it as a service to him because you know by the Spirit of God you do everything unto him. And all of a sudden there's going to be more volunteers to do work around the church. Why? Not because you have to, not because it's a science to you, not because it's a ministry, not because it's some a building, not because we're trying to keep it. You will do things because you're honoring the Father. Are you with me? However, when the kingdom of God shows up, everything is affected and everything changes. Can you handle that? Okay? Because there's a lot of people who can't handle that. I've had people leave the church and say, I can't handle this intensity in your church. I'm sorry. I love the music and I love the preaching. I think everything is great and everything is great. But I can't handle the intensity you're running after God. You see, we want God, but we want it under our conditions. This revival is coming. Is going to remove our conditions, and we're just going to want God. Now, you don't understand. There's a fear about that. There's a fear that if I lose control, if I lose who I am, okay, then everything will fall apart. No. If you lose who you are in God, everything will come together, and you'll prosper. You'll be greater, happier than you've ever been in your life. Finances will change. Study revival. Whenever God shows up, he straightens out the finances. In the whales, and every, I've studied it, and I don't want to prolong this, but just about every major move of God, particularly the two great awakenings, the economy and everything was so bad, so much debt, there was just unpayable, sound familiar? Unpayable debt. We're never going to get out of it. The culture was bad. Christians were in bad light. You couldn't, it wasn't even safe. Before 1800s, it wasn't even safe to walk out of your house and call yourself a Christian. You'd get beat up. Does that sound familiar? Okay? And when God shows up, all that changes. And in all the great awakenings, all the debt of the nations was paid off. Everything was paid. Everything was done. So you see, finances change. Debt disappears. Prosperity comes forth. The land is even healed and produces land. How many of you know that when God moves upon, we say, well, God moves upon the people. No, he's moving upon culture. and he's moving on. Yes, he's moving upon people, but he wants to also, what's it saying in Corinthians? He will heal our what? Land. The land is cursed because of sin. And so God comes and he's removing that. Why? Because he's preparing us for transformation. Then there's a religious system, and this is, I'll leave this shortly and we'll go on to something else. There's a religious system that's held captive the people of God. It is broken. Amen? And the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit must come in. Our system is broken. The church structure is there to get you to be what you're supposed to be. You ever been right there? Has anybody ever told you what you ought to be? They don't know a thing about you, but they tell you how you ought to be. Are you hearing me? That's why, how many of you are ready for a revival? How many of you are ready for people to come in this church that you absolutely would not walk across the street to think on? How many of you really want to see revival? How many of you want to see the people come in? It doesn't have to be the street people. It could be someone in $1,500 Monty suits. They're just as lost as a street person. And so they're going to come in their fancy cars, but then next to them is going to come in somebody who smells. The street is all over them, tattoos. Are you with me? Are you ready to accept them? Are you ready to have the love of Christ where we don't have to put somebody? You know why teenagers aren't coming to church? Look around. How many young people got here? You know why they're not coming to the church? This is truth. Because we want them to conform to what we want them to be before we receive them. That's why they're going to rock concerts. Worshiping at rock concerts. Because no one puts anything on them. Now, let me hear this. Because, oh, well, you're just going to let kids do what they want? No. But someone said something to me a long time ago, and we'll move on with this, and that is, you got to catch the fish before you can clean that puppy. What we want the people to do is come into church all clean so we don't have to spend much time getting them cleaned up and getting them set. Are you with me? Does that sound negative? No, it's going to be a move of God where people's lives are going to be changed. You see, it's got to be transformation. Not only in community, but in everybody's heart. And what we do is we're looking for people to be changed. One of the greatest transformations that will happen is found in Matthew. We pray, some of you ever prayed this prayer in Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom, your will be done. That is a great prayer until it affects our will. Now, here's the greatest transformation. I'm going to start this now. I'm going to do it methodically. Okay. I always run out of time when I come here. You do realize that, don't you? But Jesus said the greatest transformation prayer is when a believer chooses God's will over their own. If that be the case, football would be shut down on Sundays. Soccer would not be done on Sundays anymore. Oh, because the law says so? No. You can't make people do something. It's because their hearts will be transformed to be in the house of God. You understand me? And that means their children will want to come also. See, the greatest thing is to change of will. And where's the greatest? It says, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, if it be your will to take this cup away from me. Amen? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Is that okay? Many sitting in this room right here, in this service, Holy Spirit, help me. Many of you sitting right here have already concluded that it's too late for your life. It's too late. I am what I am. I got some gray hair up here, I don't know if you noticed or not. I'm of great vintage. And I feel in my spirit, when God has revealed what he has to me, I feel like I'm 30 years old. And I got the whole world in front of me. It's like a portrait. It's all before me. It's like a picture. And he says, this is where you belong, son. And God wants to do that for every single one of you in this room. Are you with me? So some of you sitting here said it's already too late. You've given up. You're faithful. You've been around this church for a long time. You're faithful. You attend services. Probably cleaned the church, work in children's church. Faithfully served. Yet you've lost your hope. It's become a routine. It's become a thing I do. It's part of my life. It's a habit. Are you hearing me? I don't expect anything anymore. I just come to church, and I hope Rich and the worship team got their act together so they can at least make me feel good about something so I can face the rest of the week. Faithful people you are. How long have you been long? How much you've been through? And I can sit here, I could point you out, but I'm not going to. You're sitting there with no expectation because you've seen it all. You've been through it all. And you have no hope. We're going to make it. Well, I'm not interested in leaving this place with the people who are going to make it. I'm not interested in leaving this place and leaving the anointing of being a survivor. It's not in the scripture. It never has been. And survival is for the fittest of humanism, more than conqueror and overcomers is the fitness of heaven. So the transformation has to come within this house, in your heart, that you have to start seeing and changing. Amen? What you see. Let me say this to you. Some will say it's too late for this church. You've stopped dreaming. If you could close your eyes, what would you want this church to look like a couple years from now? Well, I don't want to get too big, then I'll lose my place. You see, we're somewhere, a transformation has to come where you'll give it to God. You see, God wants to fill this building. You want to keep it where it's comfortable. You see, we have it in our church. And there's other churches that I work with. It's in their church, too. The people in that church, you like it just the way it is. You can come Sunday, do your normal structural duty. And you do it. There's no life in it. I'm just doing it. Because it's a thing to do. I have to get it done. There's no life in it. And God is grateful for everything to do it. But that's not what God wants from you. He wants you transformed. He wants you changed inside, where it's no longer a duty. It is a glorious praise unto the Father God Almighty. So I want to say to you, it's never too late for God to work. Are you with me? It's never too late for Boylston. It's never too late for Worcester. It's never too late for this area. Quite frankly, I've been in New England almost all my life except for 7, 8 years. And I've heard about revival for years and years and years and years. And God has passed us by, some people say. It will never happen here. Graveyard of preachers. I could give you 1,001 things people to say. Because you're looking at it through man's eyes. God showed me New England through his eyes. What is going to happen when the Lord takes a town and turns it upside down and a whole high school is saved? Let me say this and we move on. So it's never too late for God to move, to awaken, to revive, to bring restoration to you. Never too late. I don't care how old you are. I'm 74 years, 73, 70. I don't even know how old I am anymore. 30. Listen to me, church. Come alive. This isn't a drudgery thing. I can't wait to get up in the morning anymore because I said, what are you going to do today, God? He said, just watch and I'll show you. Because I finally found out what Jesus said. He didn't do anything with what the Father did. So he had his eyes not on your problem, not on chaos, not anything down there. He had his eyes on his Father. I said, wow. Then if I get my eyes on Jesus, then I can do everything he did. That passed right over you. Exciting. Hope. Let me move on. No situation is beyond God's grace. Hopelessness does not control you. Hopelessness has bonded you. Are you with me? No church can become so compromised and backslidden. No church can become compromised or backslidden or been through splits or been through devastation or been through everything where you lose people and people come. No church has had devastation so great. Are you with me? That God can't breathe on it and fix it in a day. Are you hearing me? You see, you got to get transformed inside Freedom Worship because of the fact that have you ever had a vision of showing up here an hour early just to try to find a place to sit down? Oh, there you go again, that positive mental attitude. No, if you don't see it, you don't believe it, it'll never happen. Are you with me? Now, here's the last one. And I'm not going to get into it because I'm losing time. Are you ready for this? No nation is too far gone that it cannot be brought back in a day with a sovereign God. Listen to me now. I'm going to take 2 minutes to do this. Get your head out of this election. Now listen to me now. Because if you listen to people, there's more discussion amongst Christians about who to vote for and who not to vote. You ought to vote. And I'll tell you how to vote. Go to the scriptures, find out who lines up, okay, and who's God saying, and vote for that person. But why are we so, and here's what it is. God has sent the angels out to create chaos in America. Chaos is all over the place. Is it beyond God? No. God's creating this chaos. He's uncovering things that have been hidden for years. This political corrupt system that we thought was so wonderful is nothing but corrupt. And guess what? God's shouting it from the housetops. Why? And chaos is coming. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, America. Chaos is coming because the angels are sent out to create the chaos. And why? Because chaos always comes before a move of God. Now, there's a problem, and then I'll move on. The problem is we are so man-centered, so problem-oriented, so church building fixed, so ministry driven, so a career, I could go on and on and on, that our whole focus, listen to me now, because what God showed me, is on the chaos. It's on the things man's doing. Let's settle this. I don't care who wins the White House, it's not going to help this country. The only thing America can be saved by is a move of God, and the church has started to realize that and realize that we are the key to America being saved. How am I a key? I'm just some nobody that goes to church on Sunday morning. I am going to settle that for you this morning. You're not a nobody. You are a born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, fire-breathing man and woman of God, who, if you are willing to be used by God, God will come and use you. Who, me? Yeah, you. You. I'm not worth anything. No, that's what somebody has told you. In God's eyes, you are the giant of the world. No people has ever become so sinful that God gave up on them. God's telling me there are people sitting in this room that needs to be transformed by the renewing of your spirit and mind, that you absolutely believe God has given up on you. You absolutely believe, your heart of heart, you believe God's given up on you. And you come to church looking to get free of this prison, free of this false notion that God really doesn't. Everybody tells how much he loves everybody, but I don't sense an ounce of his love. We're going to break that in the name of Jesus, because God is love, and there's nothing that you have not done in your past that God is, it's really bothering God as much as it bothers your family and friends. I'll let that sink for a moment. There is a realm, listen to me now, I'm going to declare this, say there is a realm of the Spirit, there is a move of God in the Spirit, a manifestation of his kingdom, and the releasing of angelic hosts. Amen? And you will all have to come to a realization that God is moving. What the Lord is moving, if you can picture it, look up in the clouds in the sky and see a whirlwind. And it's a wind up there. It's a spirit moving. It's a spirit stirring. It's the Holy Spirit's moving. Healing's up there. Deliverance is up there. You can see all that stuff up there. And what the Lord is saying, church, get your focus off the chaos and look up and then come in agreement that my revival has come. Come in agreement. I tell you, people say, well, revival's coming. I said, no, it's come. Great awakening's coming. No, it's come. I'm walking in revival, and I'm walking in, and he said, well, I don't see it. I don't care whether you see it or not. It's in the heavens. And once we believe it, once we see it, once we start living it, once we start walking it, all of a sudden a portal opens up over you, and heaven comes down here. Are you with me? Now, you sang the song, but I declare this everywhere I go. I preach the gospel lately. The move of God that is up in the, it's happening. It's here. It's all over America. And I'm going to give you some examples later. It's all over America. The move of God is happening. Are you with me? It's all around the world, actually. Amen? And what God simply is doing is he started the force. The angels have been released. Now listen to me. This move of God is unstoppable. Maybe I should need to be a better response over here. This move of God is unstoppable. Listen to me. What has already been released in the heavens, no man can stop it. No angel can stop it. Amen. No devil can stop it. The only one that can prevent the manifestation of it in this country and the salvation of this country and the people is the God's people, the church. Is the only hindrance of the move of God being released in its fullness upon the earth. We are the only hindrance because we don't believe, we don't see, and we aren't willing to let Holy Spirit transform us to be vessels of honor and glory unto Him. Can I hear an amen on that? The move of God is unstoppable. It will not be hindered and will be released in God's release God's kingdom. His presence and His fire will come upon the people, the entire body of Christ, amen, who will come in alignment and agreement with Him. The fire is coming. All you got to do is, now listen to me, if it's unstoppable and the move of God's starting and the church refuses to look up and come in agreement, that's not going to stop the move of God. It's going to be woe on you. You understand what I'm saying? This is hard, but hang in there. Because God's moving. And the problem is the church is waiting for Him to move. And He's already moving. Like, duh. Charisma Magazine writes this. Listen to me now. Mass salvations, atmospheric miracles, and the glory of God are spreading in cities and towns across this land. Do you believe that? It's happening. It doesn't make a difference whether you believe it or not. See, that's the problem. Well, I don't know if I'm believing that or not. It doesn't make a difference whether you believe it or not. It's happening. The question is, will you line up with it? Here's another one. Jennifer LeClaire. Is that pronounced that properly? Writes this, and this is after, I've been preaching this for a while, but how many of you like confirmation once in a while? Here's what Jennifer wrote. We are beginning to understand that no matter what man does, it is not going to change God's will or what His or what He's preparing to do to pour out His Spirit out and through His bride. Nothing is going to stop it. Can you get that in your spirit? If I don't get anything, nothing. I'm walking out of this building and there's not a thing the devil can do about it. And it's something else. There's nothing the organized church can do about it. Every great awakening did not happen under the organization of man's church. You go read the history. Amen. Because the spirit of religion stopped the move of God. But there were some people hungry enough. I want to move on because I want to read some more things to you. All right, let me go to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are a masterpiece in progress. I don't care what you love. I don't care if people told you you're the dredge of the earth. The difference is you've got to stop listening to what people say, including your parents, including anybody else. The worst thing a parent can do is say to a child, you'll never become anything. You're not worth anything. And our parents say that all the time. Oh, it's just in jest. No, it's words put in the spirit and soul of a young person who will deal with that with the rest of their life. Why? Because it's contrary to what God says. Amen? God is not done with you yet. Your best days are ahead of you. God's not done with this church yet. Your best days are ahead of you. But can you believe enough? Can you give enough? Can you be transformed enough? Can you want God so bad that whatever God wants to do with this church, you'll do it? And that means if you got to get in here 2 hours early just to get a seat on Sunday morning, you'll do that. Or God help, maybe you're going to go 4 or 5 services just to handle all the people getting saved and to transform and walk in the Spirit. Oh, that would never happen. That's what they say. You know why it's never going to happen? Because you just said it's never going to happen. Do you see? Do you hear what we're saying? One might ask the question, why is God so interested in awakening and reviving me and bringing me into transformation? Why is God so interested in you? Why? Why he's so interested in you? Think about it. It's because everybody on earth was created for a divine reason and purpose. Everybody. Are you with me? Each person, each one of you, is an instrument of God's presence. Are you with me? I just can't pick on me. When I walk into a store, the climate must change. Why? Because I'm there. Well, that's arrogant. No, it's God. Are you hearing me? If I walk into a church service, I don't know if you saw, but I turned around and walked back out during worship and came right back in again. God says, you forgot to do one of my instructions. And so I had to leave the church, go outside the lobby, and come back in the door. That's why I left earlier. You know what the instruction was? As soon as you walk in the door, release my revival and awakening. He said, you didn't do that. You were looking around the people. I had to leave the sanctuary, come back in to follow instructions. That's how serious God is about this. Follow instructions. God wants to do miracles in our midst. Transformation changes the focus from imperfection to perfection. How one sees their life and focuses it. Amen. We spend just a little time on this. Most of us in our life, 80 to 90% of our time is focused on our imperfection. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to say something to you. When you got saved, there's a section of you that became perfected. Can you handle that? When you got saved, there's an era in your life that is now sanctified and perfected. In God's eyes, you are perfect. Does that mean your whole life's there? No, because we are continually being saved. From glory, you got to get from glory to glory, we're changed. Now listen to me now. Okay? So God wants you to change the way you see yourself. And so I said to the Lord, how do I do that? He says, start concentrating and living your life in the perfected area and let me handle the imperfection. Now, here's a problem. Are you ready? The church is geared to work on your imperfection, not build up your perfection. Yeah? Have you ever been at the receiving end of someone who tells you how they think of you? Or your church service? Or what you ought to be and what you haven't shouldn't be? And so we concentrate on what is wrong with us, where we're not, what we've never been able to do. I'm too old. I could go through a sundries of things to you where 80% of your concentration goes. And God says that needs transformation. What's going to happen now? Are you hearing me? This move of God, God's going to reverse that where you will now focus on the perfected side of you and leave the imperfection to God. Yeah, some of you just aren't getting this. See, there's a shift coming. There's a shift coming. Where when you get so into God, you don't care about your imperfection anymore. You walk in what God has perfected. Now, there are some people in churches, I kind of go nuts over it, but here's what they proclaim. You're messed up. Get with Jesus. Your life is terrible. You're a train wreck. How many of you have ever heard that? Okay, you're just a mess. So come to Jesus. Well, it sounds great. But here's something I'm going to say, something very bold. Every area in my life that's given to Jesus is not messed up. It's perfect. Come on. When you look in a mirror, I say, Lord, show me the perfection, not my imperfection. Don't stick your hand in the sand and say there's no problems in my life. Of course there's problems in your life. But if you are, God knows your need before you even ask him. God knows everything wrong with you. He said, I'm bringing a dimension. And your whole salvation is you are imperfected. And the whole salvation is for transformation is I'm being from one imperfected to perfected. Imperfected to perfected. Imperfected to perfected. My whole life. And eventually, I'm looking at now. I like it. This might sound braggadocious, but I'm looking at about 60, 70, 80. 80% of perfection in my life right now. And don't ask my wife because she'll show you the other 20%. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so we have to, God's looking for us to change who we are. Why is that? Because it's instrumental. Every revival was not started by hot preachers. Moves of God were not started by hot worship teams and churches. They were started by people who submitted themselves to the transformation of Holy Spirit, and they became vessels ready to be used by God, and entire revivals have broken out. And I'm going to give you, God willing, in a couple minutes, some examples. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants you, he's doing that so you do good. I'm no good. Well, stop saying that. Look for something good. I'm telling you, church, if you will come to church, I said something, I put a challenge out to River Valley Christian Center. All right, maybe I'll put, I ain't going to put the challenge out. Amen. What do you think this church will look like if you go 30 days, Pastor Mac, and say not one negative word about this church, about anybody in it, about your family, and about the pastor? Not one negative word. Not even, because thoughts are words. And can you imagine 30 days, I will only talk about what's good in this church. I only talk about what's perfected. I only talk about what's wonderful. God is always looking for a life that is willing to be transformed into a vessel that can be used and stand between heaven and earth. God's looking for every like that. Are you listening to me? Why is America where it is? Because he's looking for vessels of Holy Spirit to transform them. Are you with me? History is rich with people who desire and have passion and willing to allow Holy Spirit to transform them and their lives for the advancement of the kingdom. Now, I want you to notice something because I want you to hear this, and I like to bring this out. You notice I didn't say the Holy Spirit. I said Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit means I'm going to look at his signs, wonders, and miracles and everything he does for me. I have no relationship with the Holy Spirit when I say the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So I dropped, Pastor Karen and I dropped the, and we just say, it's a little strange even writing, we just say Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit has a plan for you. He wants to transform you. Amen? He wants you to become what he desires. Transformation is extremely important, but here's what important. Why is God looking for vessels? Why? How many of you in this room would ever believe that you would be an instrument to start a revival in New England? Be careful what you sign up for. Because you see, God's looking for you to be that vessel. You understand? Why is America where it is right now? Why is our country being destroyed? If something doesn't change, America will not exist the way it is today. That's how dire it is. And it's not because of the politicians. We've let them do it. It's not because of the political class. We let them do it. It's not because darkness rules, because wherever there's light, there's darkness flees, right? So then why is America, why is our towns, why is our churches failing? Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 says this, so I sought a man among them who would make a well and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it But I have found no one. Well, I go to church every week. I have found no one. I prophesy in your name. I have found no one. I've done signs, wonders, and miracles. Look at all I do for you, God. I have found no one. Why? Because what we do is not going to bring revival. It's who we are in Christ, surrendering ourselves to the transformation of Holy Spirit, that we can be vessels anytime. Are you with me? Y'all getting quiet on me now. There's not another hammer coming, trust me. Every move of God brings transformation from one state to another. Well, how could God use me? I can't. I don't pastor a church. That's the problem. The church says the pastors and ministry are everything. No, we actually are not everything. I'm actually here to get you to become everything. We want you better than us. You're the ministry. I'm not the ministry. Well, I'm part of the ministry, but I'm not the ministry. Because I'm a pastor, it doesn't mean I put my pants on the same way you do. I'm not some elevated place in the body of Christ over you. Sister, I don't think if people ever realize that. You know what I'm saying? Well, I prophesy. Well, that doesn't make you any better than anybody else. I prophesy all around this place. Everybody needs to realize you are a vessel of honor, and God wants to use you. Can you hear that? Every move brings transformation one state to another. God is always looking for a life that is willing to be transformed into a vessel that can be used between heaven and earth. How many of us are willing to be a vessel used between heaven and earth? Stand between heaven and earth. Lord, whatever it takes, I want America saved. If I got to be on my knees for 24 hours, I'm going to do it. Whatever it takes. You know what it is? I'm at a point now where I'm a repeating record. Because every time a thought comes to me, I say, Jesus, we need to see revival. Jesus, I need to see revival. It's all day. Lord, I need to see revival. Lord, there's got to be a great awakening. Every thought, and I think I'm becoming a little pesty. You understand what I'm saying? Are you crying out for revival? Are you crying out for the move of God? What about this church? Are you crying out for this church? Well, yeah, I want the church to become. How about the church becoming so on fire for God that you cannot contain what God is doing in here? To change radically the inner character and condition and nature is what transformation is. There's a change radically inside of every one of us. And you got to let that change happen. You got to let Holy Ghost. This is not a psychology. You don't need counseling to do this. Are you with me? You don't need therapy to do this. You don't need some doctor tell you to do this. All you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm available. Is that all right? How would you ever use that? You walk into a grocery store and God says, just go tell that person they're healed in Jesus' name. No, I couldn't do that. I'm not qualified. No, that's what the church told you. You were absolutely qualified. And you go tell that person you're healed. Can you imagine revivals breaking out in grocery stores? Help me, Jesus. I'll just read the scripture. I don't have time to spend a lot of time on it, but we all know Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice according and acceptable to God, that is your reasonable service, no matter where we go. That's, again, an ongoing basis. Amen? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable before God. Amen? I'm just going to go ahead of all my notes here because I want to close with something with you. Because this transformation is extremely important. And so I want you to hear me. I'm going to give you some examples quickly. In India, how many of you feel that God can use you? Listen to me. In India, God stopped looking for the superstars in the church. God chooses superstars. The ministry doesn't. In India, there was a woman of little and no stature in community. She was a street sweeper. And she was known as an untouchable in the Indian culture. She was that low class. Are you hearing me? And there was a situation in a house, and this happened over and over again, where a child was dying. And they prayed 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 and they prayed. And nothing happened. Until they went and got this 60-year-old woman, street sweeper, untouchable, and said, "Would you come and pray for my child?" And she did. And she raised him from the dead. There are other areas where men have died, and this woman prayed for them, and they now live. There's one man, they had the pictures documented. He had his death certificate in his hand. He was that dead, and God raised him from the dead because of a prayer of a little old lady that nobody even knew about. But God knew about her. Amen? I can move on. Another one I want to tell you about is Cane Ridge, Kentucky, 1808. How many believe God can do anything anywhere? Can you catch in your head 1808? No phones, no supercars, no airplanes, no trains, no buses. All they had was their feet and possibly, if they were really well off, a horse and a wagon. And a fellow by the name of Broughton Stone scheduled a camp meeting because he heard it from somewhere else in the nation, a camp meeting, and it worked. So he scheduled a camp meeting on a weekend, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Sounds like a typical church thing. And on a Friday night, it absolutely inundated. It poured. It rained so hard, it was like a monsoon. Okay, he gets up the next morning, he says, "Well, how the heck was that?" He looks out the window, and there are hundreds of people camped out across the field. And so they started preaching, sharing the gospel. And before you knew it, the weekend, I cut it to the chase, I could go through a lot, ended up in the thousands. In fact, in 1801, it ended up to be about 20 to 30,000 people showed up at this revival. People falling over dead, like slain in the spirit. There were two ladies that were slain in the spirit like dead. I mean, they were just like dead. And every bit of time, I guess from what I read, it was about 4 or 5 hours that they just were slain in the spirit. Can you imagine that? Couldn't move, like dead person. But every once in a while, they would wake up yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs, "God, have mercy on us, I am a sinner," and I'm yelling. Just the conviction of the Holy Spirit fell on them, just like the conviction is going to fall on church and clean us up. After all these hours, these two ladies stood up, and their whole countenance was changed. There was a glory to them. Two, no names. Are you with me? And they began to speak, and thousands heard them with no. They didn't have an amplifier system. And people were being saved and transformed, all because a little pastor in a small church in Cane Ridge believed enough to step out in faith, and God moved. Is there anything beyond God with worship, Freedom Worship Center? I don't think so. Quickly, the Cape Revival in South Africa, 1860. Andrew Murray was a pastor there. And then Murray was pastoring a church, and there was an old farm. I'm trying to share something with you. There's an old farm. Can I have just a couple more minutes of this, Pastor? Okay, there's an old farm, okay? And I'm going to be pretty blunt with you all shortly, so hang on there with me, okay? And there's an old farm, and there's a schoolhouse on this old farm, and the cultural people working. The workers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? the African American and the culture people working here, all right? See, God chooses sometimes areas to start revival that we don't even think he would. And so they all had a prayer meeting. And they got ruckus, and they fall to their face. They started screaming out repentance because the conviction of the Holy Spirit fell on the entire room. And it was got so loud, and what the problem was is that Andrew Murray had to deal with a lady, amen, whose name, I'll find it yet, was Miss Van Blerk, who for years had been praying, just a little lady, nobody special, praying for revival, working on this farm. And so this ruckus started in the schoolhouse, and it actually got out of control. People just yelling and screaming to God, repentance, people falling over dead, people jerking, doing all kinds of strange things. And she ran and got Andrew Murray came, and he walked in the place, and he stood up in front of him, and he says, "You will stop this right now. God is the God of order." And he did it again. And the more he did it, the louder they got. And all of a sudden, Andrew Murray realized that he can't do anything here. So he goes back. He had a Sunday morning service. He figured that was the farm. It was safe away. It was just a little distance away. But he had a little apprehension because he started his church service, and he says, "Well, we open it up in prayer. Maybe we shouldn't open it up in prayer." "Well, yeah, we better open it up in prayer." So one person got up and prayed, amen, and it was just normal. I said, "Oh, we're safe." And then the person got up and said, "Okay." Then a third person got up and got a little louder. Then another one got up, got a little louder. And pretty soon, the conviction of the Holy Spirit got a hold of people's hearts, and they started falling on the ground, confessing their sins, and they started yelling and screaming to the Lord and crying out for salvation, and crying out. That's what God was doing. Are you with me? Andrew Murray, the lady went and got Andrew Murray, and he just was shook about this. So here he's in his church. And it happened in his church. The wind came through the church building, and everybody, conviction of the Holy Spirit, they're on their knees, they're on their face, they're crying out to God. And Andrew Murray gets behind his pulpit in his church, because he's the pastor, and said, "This will stop right now." I'm paraphrasing the best I can remember. And it didn't stop. I said, "It will stop right now." And it didn't stop. It got worse and louder. And then finally, he got off his pulpit and went down individually, started getting in people's face. "You will stop this right now. God's a God of order. You will stop this right now." And every person he comes to, the more he did that, the worse they got. And someone tapped him on the shoulder. And really couldn't understand. It was either a man or an angel. And he said, "This is God." And he let the Holy Spirit just move in. I never knew Andrew Murray was an instrument of revival, but he was. But the key to that Cape Town revival, listen to me now, how many of you are willing to be transformed? Cape Town revival did not happen because the big fancy preacher, Andrew Murray. Cape Town revival, or Cape revival, happened because of the little old lady prayed and believed. And the people believed with her, and all of a sudden, revival broke out. Are you with me? Last one I want to hit, and I'll close with a couple other things. Azusa Street, have you ever heard of it? I just want to take a minute, because this is very important. I want you to hear me, because I'm going to crack this culture, and I'm going to nail this nation where it's at. In the name of Jesus. Azusa Street started. How did Azusa Street start? Well, first of all, it started in a big fancy building with the hottest worship team there is around, and carpets all there. No! Azusa Street was a rejected church that a church building used to be used by a church, and they moved to a bigger and better facility and sat vacant for years. And they put some apartments on there, okay? And so they had this old building, run down, dirt floor, where the animals used to be, where they did their business. Are you with me? And God chose someone called William Seymour. Now get this. The greatest move of God in this nation's ever known. And God chose a black man. And Seymour heard God, and he went to Azusa Street, and he started preaching. And we all know that. If you don't know the story, go read it. It's wonderful. I don't have time to get into it. Azusa Street it changed the nation. It was the greatest revival that actually changed America. Are you with me? But there's the other story I want to tell you about, which is very, very important, because you see, God chose an unlikely person. Would you ever choose a preacher that really it was no reputation from down south? He was nothing. Would you choose him? God did. And they're in the midst of this revival. There was a pastor in North Carolina. And he heard about what was going on Azusa Street. And this pastor wanted to be a part of that. His name was Pastor Cashwell, a preacher. And so he, from North Carolina, he got on the train or bus, whatever it is, I guess it was train, and he went all the way across to California. 3 days it took him. He fasted and prayed. Hear me. And he was so excited to get into this building. And he walked into this building, and he got to the doorway, and he could go no further. Because there were black people, there were Spanish people, there was every kind of person in that room that you could possibly ever dream. Listen to me, I'm going somewhere with this. And he left the room and went back to wherever he was staying. He said, I will not let any black man lay his hands on me. Didn't sleep much that night. Got up the next morning by the Spirit of God. Listen to me. Because America is plagued with a curse that needs to get broken. If I didn't do anything else today, I came here about this. This is revival. It's going to happen. Awakening. And this preacher went in, and he went through the back door, through the door, and walked right up to the pulpit area where there was just dirt and sawdust. That's what was on the floor, dirt and sawdust. That's what Azusa Street's revival was on, dirt and sawdust. And he prostrated himself. This man would never have touched God. This man would never have seen revival. This man would never have known God. If he didn't give his bigotism, he didn't give his racism, and he didn't give all his predetermined opinions to God to let God deal with every one of them. Are you listening to me? And he lays in this sawdust, covered, people walking all around him. And there comes a hand of the preacher. That's right, Pastor Seymour. Laid hands on this man, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, set on fire for God, because he was willing to be transformed. Listen to my heart. He was willing to be transformed from the inside out, where bigotry left his life. Part of this move of God, I want everybody to listen to me. I don't care what color your skin. I don't care whether you're male or female, short, tall. What I don't care what you are, young, old. You got to listen to me, and listen good, because this church depends on it. This is God. And the move of God is what? It's unstoppable. Now listen to me. We have got to start seeing God's creation through the eyes of God. Are you with me? Now, do you understand something with me? When God looks at you, he doesn't see your imperfection. He sees your what? Come on, someone, were you listening to me? He doesn't see your imperfection, but he sees your... Okay, when God looks at you, he does not see the color of your skin. He does not see your gender. He does not see whether everybody has dumped on you. Amen? He does not see how wrecked up you are. He doesn't see how young or old you are. He doesn't care whether you're male or female. When God looks at you, he looks at the perfected, blood-bought saint of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the day the church gets their eyes back where God is coming, we are seated in heavenly places. We are to look down from heaven. And we are to see people for what God sees them, not the way we have been trained and put into place to see them. I have to close with this. Brother Rich, could I have some keys, please? Now listen to me. This is crucial. Our politicians have divided us against race, against each other. Our politicians have made known that I'm different than you. Are you with me? Are you all with me? You following me? You're walking with me, aren't you? Because I'm going to say, because I have a very close friend of mine at River Valley, and I kind of shared this with him. Because, you see, me being a spirit-filled person, I should reach out to my sister and say, I love you from my heart. Because I don't see the color of your skin. I see the creation of God. I see you and I say, I love you. I don't see the color of your skin. Or whether you're old or young. What's wrong with us? Why is the church come? The church is sitting aside. Our nation is killing each other. Where's the church? Where are we? We cry out for revival, but I won't accept my brother and sister for who they are. What hypocrisy. We have people killing each other in our streets. We have politicians creating division. We have politicians saying, I got to hate you. In our country now, if I disagree with you, I'm your enemy. Where are we going, church? I don't have time to go in my notes, but I'll give you one last example. How many believe God's moving? In San Diego, there was a pouring out of God's Spirit recently, like January, February, I think it was. A real move of God. In Tennessee and Kentucky border, a high school, against everything man has taught us, a high school was completely saved. Every single student completely saved in the high school in this country this year. Called the Appalachian Awakening. I could just go on and on and on, but transformation. See, the kingdom of God revival is coming. And I know I'm hitting your spirits and your heart because God told me that's going to happen. We have lost our way. And we have lost our way because church has lost its way. We are in the condition we are right now. We have young people who rather go to a rock concert than come to a church service. Why is that? It's because we are looking at them with disdain. If they don't fit our mold or they're just young people, we just cross them off. All those millennials, they're not worth anything anymore. Those millennials, they're just terrible. They're just self-centered. They don't care about anything. Oh, well, keep saying that. And pretty soon, the millennials won't be in church either. Why? Because we're programming them to be out. Why? Because of our bigotry, because of our hatred, because of our predisposed opinions of what someone's supposed to look at. So I'm closing with this, church. God wants revival more than you do. God looks at you. Sees a prized possession. You. He looks at you and you're a prized possession of God. Can you hear my heart? And so today I want to know who is willing to be transformed. Who is willing to walk that road? Who is willing to love Jesus enough where we start making a stand in America again? Will we start mentioning Jesus out in the streets even though they say, I can't mention Jesus? When they start praying us against our brother and sister of culture, our Spanish brothers and sisters, or our African-American brothers and sisters, or Asian brothers and sisters, or Caucasian brothers and sisters, they start dividing us. They start turning us to each other. Where is their church saying, wait a minute, stop. That is not God's way. God's way is He looks at us and we are His creation. And I'll close with this because it's the greatest thing that I've ever known, and I got this revelation from God. There was a man who's been rejected because of the color of his skin, was a prophet to this nation, and nobody, even the church, saw him as a prophet. And because of the color of his skin, the words that he spoke to this day has not yet taken root. And I'm going to paraphrase it. But that man said, I had a dream that one day would come where we would judge each other by the character and the contents of their heart, not the color of their skin. What's happened to us, church? What's happened to us? We have churches being divided all over the place. Why? Because I'm so hung up on what someone thinks, or my ministry, or someone took a mic from me, or someone did something for me. They leave a church. Where's your head at? What's going on? Where is our devotion to God? And so I ask you, do you want to see God move? See this church become what God wants it to become? Are you willing to give up control of the church to the Holy Spirit? Pastor Mac, if you say no, I'm going to probably put you on the spot anyways, but the Lord told me, I want your elders to come up here. I want all the elders to come up here. And Pastor, all the elders. So stand in front of me here. I don't usually do this. I've never done this in this church. But sitting during worship, he says, I want you to call the elders. Because you're key to where this house is going. He, I love you, is not the key. He's one of the keys. But are you willing to see? I believe this first world will be wide open. Are you willing to be changed, shifted inside? Are you willing to let the revival fire come? Be careful what you say. Because God has made me, this is not braggadocio, Pastor. I didn't say this to you last night. He has made me an instrument of revival. Wherever I go, it's going to break out. But when I leave here, if nothing's done with it, it's nothing. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to open it up for the church to come. Amen. Fresh breath, fresh spirit, fresh anointing, fresh breath, fresh spirit, anointing. Jesus' name, are you ready? Are you ready? You sure? You know it. You're instrumental in this place, brother. Revival, revival, in the name of Jesus. Now I want to say this to you. And don't come up because it's a religious thing to do. Please don't do that. But if you want to give yourself to Holy Spirit, allow Him to start a transformation process to make you an instrument of revival. I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come up here. And we're going to close with this. My God. Well, Pastor Mac, freshness is coming on you, fresh fire. I speak to your bones. Tiredness, flee. I speak to your spirit, be revived. I speak to your mind to be renewed. Receive the Holy Ghost this day in the name of Jesus, afresh and anew. Wow. Do you really mean this? Every time you walk in this building, I want you to say, we're in revival. I want you to see it. I want you to see young people running to this altar, crying out to God. I was at a revival meeting in Baltimore. A fellow by the name of Tommy Tinney was preaching. Right in the midst of revival. The place was pretty full. And Tommy got up to preach and he says, I'm not preaching. We all came to hear Tommy. I'm not preaching. God has a work. God has a work. That's what he said. And he went and sat down. And the music ministry started playing. And teenagers, I've never seen anything like this, got so convicted on fire of the Holy Ghost, they ran violently to the altar and started crying and rolling in the Holy Spirit. Young people, teenagers. Why don't we see that? Because you don't believe it either. Come on, church. You're all good people. You love the Lord. You love the Lord with all your heart. But God, I need him up here. Are you hearing me? Teenagers. In your prayer meetings, orientate them towards revival. In your prayer meeting, stand in the gap for America. In your prayer meeting, stand in the gap for this church. In your prayer meeting, start to call forth in the name of Jesus this move of God at all cost. I used to tell our church, people didn't like when I said it, I'd rather have our church burn up in the fire of God than smolder away in a coal that goes cold. Oh, by the way, he is going to be instrumental in this place right here in the name of Jesus. And so I'm curious, don't be afraid. And one of the challenges we have, and I am wrapping up, but one of the challenges we have is people are afraid of the Spirit. They won't let him in. They won't let him in. How many know God moves? I had a dream in our church for 21 years that I'd have a mixed culture church, African American, Spanish, Caucasian. Our church is located in a town that's rather well off. I never saw my dream. As far as I'm concerned, it was a Caucasian congregation. We had one or two of our wonderful African American people there, but mostly the face of the church, I didn't want it. And so God brings in a young man that we have set in as pastor. And I look at our church now. And my dream has come true. Spanish, African American, not tokenism. They're coming because the Spirit of God is drawing them. Church, listen to me. It's not too late for you in this house. Pastor, it's not too late. I got a burden for this church right now. It's not too late. I said it's not too late. You haven't been through too much yet. But what it will take is it will take for you to get on fire for God and start telling someone what God is doing, not how wonderful this church is, not how great pastor is. Don't talk about the church. Talk about Jesus and then lead them to here to be brought into the church. So I'm saying to you, will you pray for a revival? In your prayer meetings, I'm not talking about lay me down to sleep. And here's what the Lord said to me. And I've said this to many places. As soon as my people stop worrying about their needs and the church taking care of them, because I know their need before they ask it, if you are hung up with your needs, you are absolutely blocking God from fulfilling the answer to your needs. Listen to me. This is a turnabout. This is a transformation. We don't come to church to get our needs, man. I'm sorry. That's not what the church is here for. The church is here for us to come and present ourselves as living sacrifice. The church has come for us to give honor and praise. How's this? The church has come to gather together. But can you picture this? That people getting up Sunday morning and they have powerful testimonies of the miracles of God all week long. God showed me revival church is what's going to happen. We'll still have preaching. We'll still have hot worship. But what's going to happen is, can you get this in your spirit? Close your eyes and see it. You walk into a church service and someone right there got a miracle during the week. And so they get up and they give testimony about the miracle. And you know, a lot of people, well, that's nice. We clap. But you see, we don't understand what God does. When someone has a miracle, amen, and gives a testimony, it is the prophecy of Jesus. Every testimony of the miracles of God is a prophecy of Jesus. Listen to me. Amen. And so the prophet, and it's a prophecy of Jesus. And so if I stand up to you and say, I pray for Sister Susie over here, and they got healed, what is in that room? The healing of what Sister Susie Q got healed of is now released in the entire congregation. And everybody can sit here and say, yes, I'll take it, Lord. Are you with me? There's a change coming in your life, brother. Truth be known, you don't like things the way they are. I don't know what the change is, but it's going to be dramatic. Because you're needed here. You're needed here. God is moving you. Enemy at one point, whoa, Lord, tell me, enemy at one point tried to get you out of here. It's not going to happen. And so we close. We close. I've been seeing you all. Can you hear? I know you want to hang on to mommy, but you're going to leave mommy for a moment. I want you all to know something. With truth be known, I follow Facebook. I follow this family on Facebook. So I know what's happened to this young man. Do you ever think that your son is going to be in the ministry? Oh, I'm not talking music ministry, brother. What's going to happen? You've actually had the dickens scared out of you this week, this year. Fear has gripped you. It has. And the thing that the Lord wanted me to tell you, stop being ashamed of it. Because you've seen things in your life that a lot of people haven't seen. But God is removing the spirit of fear right now from your life, and you're going to become very bold. Don't try to work it up. Don't try to do the religious like God did. You need to talk to God. You need to be with Him. Because you, my brother, are a vessel of God. Okay? And God's going to use you mightily. Mightily. Holy Spirit, I pray for my dear brother. I thank you for saving his life in the last several months. I speak now to his entire cardiovascular system. I speak now to all his blood flow. I speak now to his internal body. I ask you, Father, right now to open a portal of heaven of healing over him right now in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I pray a spiritual boldness upon him in the name of Jesus. Spiritual boldness now. Holy Spirit, breathe. on this young man. Breathe on this young man. Right now. Amen. Give me a hug. What a precious spirit. I love this young man. God is good. He knows who you are, brother. Amen. Is that right, Mama? Huh? In Jesus' name. I watched you up there. You had such passion. It's like what you were singing, when my soul be with you. It's like, it was, here's what the Lord is saying to me. She was saying in her manner, don't you get it? Don't you get it? But God's going to change you and your husband. And it's going to come to a point where your private life is going to be so totally transformed because of the visitation coming to your home in Jesus' name. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Both of you. Dance. Let the Holy Spirit in. Are you with me? Let the Holy Ghost take over you. I pray a breath of God to be upon both of you. Amen. Now, if I don't come up to you and share something, it does not mean you're not important. It doesn't mean that God loves you any more or less than these. Are you with me? But I believe a conviction is coming upon the house of this church. Because truth be known, in some of your spirit, you've not let go of the past. And you've not forgiven. Truth be known. And God is coming in like a flood and is going to heal you of all that garbage and he's going to set you free. Isn't that awesome? Because this is the new church. How many of you know you're starting a new move of God today? All things have become new. Old things have passed away. You've been here for a while.
New creations.
There's a specialness about you too. I don't know. My name is Al Chapman, by the way. There's a specialness about you. And you, yeah, and you really want God. So may I pray for you? Father, in Jesus' name. He's going to unfold you like a flower. You're just going to petal after petal, and things are going to start coming out. You're going to start reporting. Start reporting to the Lord. Precious things. Amen. So let me pray, and I'll be quiet. You don't think I was going to pray for your husband or not, you do, you? Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Pastor Kathy. Lord, if there's a woman after your own heart, this is one. I also speak to your tired body, Kathy, your weary soul. I speak to your spirit to come alive again like it used to. Such preciousness. And I pray right now the breath of God to come upon you. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is refreshing. And right now, in Jesus' name, I decree and open heaven over this woman of God, and fire come down from heaven and breathe on her right now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and get drunk. That's okay. Amen. So let's pray. God's going to use you. You've been here a long time, brother. God's going to use you. You're going to be an instant revival. You've been faithful. But there's a touch coming of the Spirit. Are you ready for it? Father, in Jesus' name, let's all lift our hands up. I hear a sound of wind coming from heaven. I hear the rain coming. The wind's coming. I know not where it comes from. But the wind is coming to this house. And let the breath of God fill this house and this atmosphere in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That the environment and the atmosphere of this church is transformed as of today. That it will match heaven. It will be released into the guidance of Holy Spirit. And Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I call forth. You all ready? I call forth in the name of Jesus to fall from heaven right now. Lord, let the revival fire now come and let the breath of God now fill in the name of Jesus. Fill in the name of, fill in the name of Jesus. Fill in the name of Jesus. Fill. Fill. More. Come on, breathe it in. More. 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 Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Church, just let him in. Let him in. In Jesus' name. Go get after your generation. Go after him, son. Go after him. Go after him, son. Go after your generation. Get him in the kingdom. Get on fire. Tell everybody about Jesus. God sees your heart. He sees your problems. And you're all right. Can you receive that? You're going to be all right. My God. I'm standing here because I really don't know what to do right now. How's that for confession? Brother, would you come up here a minute, please? You're very kind. You're standing back there. But God wants to do a miracle in your life. Amen? I'm not going to stand back anymore. Holy Spirit's going to put a fire in your bosom. You're going to prophesy, and you're going to start sharing the Word of God. Amen? You are somebody in the body of Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you make this brother Emmanuel. Are you ready for this, Emmanuel? I'm asking, Father, you make this man an instrument of revival. An instrument of revival. An instrument of revival. I pray this in Jesus' name. Lord's not going to make a big show of this because you're not that kind of a man, I sense in the Spirit. But Brother God is going to visit you in the midnight hour. And there is a watershed moment coming for you. And you'll be instantly transformed into what God wants you to be. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all doing all right? I'm having fun. I'm not going to leave here. I can't leave here without leaving. You know what I'm talking about? You either. You're faithful. You love the Lord. So just go ahead and receive right now. Receive right now. Receive right now. Receive right now. Receive. For some of you that don't know what's going on, I'm not even hardly touching these people, so they're falling under the power of God. Woo! Ah, you didn't think so, huh? Jesus' name, right now, you're a strong man. But you know something? When the power of God comes, strength. Strength goes away. So he doesn't have to go down. He knows the Spirit of the Lord is on him. You've got to be encouraged. There's something going on in your life. Some serious stuff going on in your life. I just know it. Okay. That's not important. It's between you and your pastor. But I'll say this to you. Be strong. Walk in faith. Okay? Let the Lord show you in your mind's eye your miracle. And then believe for it. Okay? Strength of Spirit of God upon this man of God. Right now. Right now. Reckless faith I release to you right now. Reckless faith. Right now. Pastor, I'm done.
Well, let's go out with some worship. Come on, church. You want it to come all over you? It's not about whether he, Pastor Al, spoke a word, touched you, breathed on you. It's about making yourself available. Did you hear that? As the thread of what he was sharing today. Tell the Lord, as you worship him, I'm making myself. Here I am, Lord. I'm making myself. The Isaiah anointing. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Come on, let's worship him. He's the King. He's worthy of worship today. He's in our midst today. He's extending his love to us today. Worship him. Honor him. Give yourself afresh to him. Tell him that you love him.